Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our family services. Cade, thanks for reading our scripture here this morning. As you just heard, we are in the book of John. We're in John chapter 3 this week. If you're new with us, I just want to let you know where we are. We are in our summer series. We're going through the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're looking at how Jesus creates this community. Our series title is called Jesus and Community. Many of you have seen the booklet or you've taken a booklet that we're using as a little tool this summer to help us engage in this series. And I want to invite you online at vintagenc.com on our blog. You can get a digital copy of that booklet that just walks along what we're going through in our summer series as an extra tool for you to dig in into the community that Jesus makes. I've just been loving this series. Again, I said this last week, I just love looking at Jesus' life. Every week, he encounters someone in a totally different position. This week, we're going to look at, he comes in contact with a pastor, basically. And he just interacts with them in such an interesting way. And today, he's going to talk about what the Spirit does in our life. And I want us to, when we talk about that we are a community of spirit, you saw that on the screen up here, I want you to think about two things. One, when it says community of the Spirit, that's how we become community. The Spirit comes in our life and gives us life, so that's, he brings us into new life, into community. But also, there's an aspect of we have community not just with each other, but with God himself. Those two things are incredibly powerful. So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's how Jesus has made us this community. We're going to look at what Jesus is talking about in this passage. And before I read it again, I might want to pray and ask God to work in our time together today. Let's pray. God, there's just so much going on in all of our lives. And you bring us every week to gather, to listen to your word. You help us do this as a family. Today, even as we have our first family service of the summer, God, I pray that you would help us. God, would you help all of us, young and old, would you help us see you in your word? Would you help us see what you are saying to us? God, and would you help us fall in love with you? Would you bring life where there is not life? Would you bring your Spirit today, God, and move in us, rejuvenate us, and make us whole? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, for a basic kind of rundown of what I want everyone to hear, here's what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus is going to tell us in this message that we don't work for our salvation. We can't bring ourselves to God. God had to come to us. God does all the work in our salvation, and he brings us and gives us eternal life. It's all about what he does. A lot of us as people, we just try to do. That's how we operate in the world, in school. You know, all of our grades are based on how hard we try. And that kind of sets us up for life. That's how our job, we're all based on performance. We get our performance reviews back. That's kind of just how we're inundated. So we're really great at being human doings. We're really great at doing. And when we don't do the right thing, if we make a bad grade on a test, we feel really down. We're crushed because that doing defines us, or that's what we think. Jesus is actually going to invite us into a new way, a way of grace, a way where we can trust him, that his doing is more important than what we do. Okay, so that's where we're going to go today. The three things Jesus is going to show us and we're going to see in this passage is really Jesus' Spirit, so the Holy Spirit, brings us to life. That's the first thing we're going to see. The second thing that we're going to see is Nicodemus went to the right place. He went to Jesus. So go to Jesus is the second point of this passage. The third thing we're going to see here is the Spirit of God will change us. He transforms us. He empowers us to that change. And he commissions us to love the world around us. So there's the three pieces we're going to see today. So let me let you in. I always love giving the context of where we're at in the book. Let me tell you where Jesus is at. So Jesus is coming to town, coming to Jerusalem, and he's just done a couple big things. One of them was kind of hidden. We talked about this the first week. He does this incredibly awesome miracle that no one knows about. Like his disciples and some servants and his mom know about. This wedding happened. The wine ran out. And he turns basically what would be about 700 this water into 700 bottles of wine. He does this incredible miracle, and the guy who is responsible for all the wine running out actually gets all the credit. So Jesus has done that miracle. The second thing he does in the book of John, you'll see this in John 2, is he comes into Jerusalem, and he goes into the temple, and there's all this business going on. So it's kind of like, have any of y'all been to the state fair? Y'all been to the state fair? It's a pretty fun place, but it's kind of crazy too. There's just lots of people, lots of money changing hands, and that's what was happening in the temple. There's all these people, all this money was changing hands, and Jesus did not like that. So right before this passage, Jesus comes into the temple, and he actually goes in and takes anyone that's trying to make money in the temple, and he pushes them all out. And anyone that actually is bringing money into the temple, he says, don't do it. This is not, God's house is not this house of business. It's a house of prayer. So he's drawing these crowds because this is really different. This is totally different than what anybody's noticed. And a lot of these people called the Pharisees are really starting to not like Jesus. They were the religious leaders. That would be, for a lot of you, let me tell you what that means. It's like a pastor. Think of a pastor. Nicodemus is a pastor. So he understands that something is different about Jesus. And he goes to Jesus. This is where we are at in the text. He goes in the dead of night. So just consider that. He's nervous. He's scared. He's nervous about what other people think. Let's read this one more time. This is in John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. What does he want? What does Nicodemus want? He's this pastor, and he comes in the middle of the night. Why would he come in the middle of the night? When it's pitch black, why would he come at night to Jesus? Yeah, he's nervous. He's scared. All these Pharisees don't like what Jesus is doing. He's kind of getting in to their world. He's disrupting the kind of religious power they have. He's nervous. His whole life, he's had all these rules, and these rules are really easy to understand. There's 613 of them. Yeah, they're hard to keep, but he can do it. He's been doing it. And actually, he's really done a great job. If he loves these rules so much, there's 613 of them, he decides he likes putting rules on top of rules so that he doesn't ever get to break those rules. And he's been doing this for years and years of his life. He's been trying to get to God through these rules. And he is dead on the inside. He's a religious leader. He's a pastor. And he's going to come to Jesus and try to figure out eternal life. Isn't that what pastors are supposed to talk about all the time? You know what that means? You know what he feels like? There's a word for that, a fraud. He feels like a fraud. He's empty on the inside. He's been trying to do, accomplish, and he is going to the one place where he thinks he can get an answer, which is Jesus Christ. That's good. He goes to the right place. In the dead of night, he seeks out Jesus. And then Jesus starts talking to him in this interesting manner. He starts talking about being born again. So, kids, do you know what you had to do with your birth? Like, absolutely nothing. For you to be born, you didn't do anything. You just were born. Okay? And Jesus is saying the same thing. He's saying something that's mind-blowing to these guys. To be born again, you don't do anything. For his whole life, he's been trying to do all these things to get life. And Jesus is saying, just like your first birth, you gotta be born another time. But this time, you gotta be born by God's Spirit. The way you come to know God is not through your doing, it's through God's doing. It's not through your strength, it's through God's strength. Here's an easy way to put it. God saves you. You don't save you. The way God has come to save you is he sent his one and only son for you. He did all the work. And Jesus is trying to tell him about this second birth. And most people say, Nicodemus asks kind of a silly question. Can I really go back and enter into my mother's womb? Nicodemus is not stupid. This is kind of how Jewish dialogue worked. So Jesus is telling this, he's giving him a picture. Hey, you got to be born again. So he's going to go to the absurd. And Nicodemus is a smart fellow. And he's basically saying, explain a little bit more to me, Jesus. I can't go inside my mom again, right? You're not saying that. So Jesus further explains the picture, which is the Spirit must make you alive. He says this phrase, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Then he goes on to talk about this analogy of the wind. Can you control the wind? No. You can't control the wind, but you can hear it. You don't know where it's coming, where it's going. Here's what Jesus is saying. To receive eternal life, here's what you got to do. Just stand there and feel the wind blowing. Just receive it. Just feel it. Actually, in the Greek here, you can't even tell the difference. Wind and spirit are the same words here in the Greek. It's like you just can't separate wind and spirit. In the Hebrew, breath and spirit are like tied together. You can't separate them. I challenge you today, when you feel the wind on your face today, think spirit. And when you breathe today, think God's spirit is in me. He's working. This is the good news of the gospel. It's not anything we do. We can't control God. God is just working. He moves. He blows. He brings us to life. It's nothing that we can do. It's nothing that we can control. So kids, here's what I want you to hear. Jesus loves you. He has saved you. We believe that he has done everything for us. And he has loved us, and he's taken all of our sin on him so that we can have eternal life. And the way we come to life is it's like we're born again. You didn't do anything to be born the first time. You had nothing in your birth. The same is true in this time. God does it all. He does it all for us. It's all his grace to us. We just believe in Jesus Christ. And this is our second point. The Spirit brings us to life. And Nicodemus, the second point, goes to the right place. Okay? He goes to Jesus. I'm going to skip chapter 1, verses 11 through 13 for our slide guy. The second point is that Nicodemus goes to the right place. He goes to Jesus. If you're in doubt, if you feel like you don't have life, if you would be embarrassed to go to Jesus, Nicodemus was embarrassed. So he figures out, Jesus is surrounded by all these people. He figures out, okay, at this time of night, he's going to be at this place, and I'm going to get a one-on-one with Jesus, which was really hard to do. If you read the Gospels, this is a very hard thing to do with Jesus. As we said, he's nervous. He's anxious. He should know the answers that he needs. He feels like a fraud. And in the dead of night, he goes to Jesus, ashamed and dry. And this was the best decision of his entire life. If you feel like a fraud, the best place for you to go is Jesus. When you feel like a fraud, you're thinking about, man, I can't be a believer because of what I've done. Jesus will always remind us, it's never been about what you do. I came to accomplish everything for you. This was Nicodemus gives us the best path. Here's one thing I want to tell you. The book of John is so awesome. So Nicodemus comes in the dead of night. He's ashamed. He wants these questions. He's even like, when Jesus tells him there's nothing you can do, you just got to be born again, he's like, how can this be? He thinks it's all about, he just doesn't get it. But here's the thing. He was ashamed at the beginning. When Jesus died, there's this incredible part in John 19 where two incredibly bold disciples of him come to get his body. all of Jesus' disciples have fled. One of them is a very wealthy guy named Joseph who has a tomb that they're going to lay Jesus in. Do you know who the other guy that shows up to get Jesus' body, which this was a dangerous thing? It was Nicodemus. What changed where he's showing up in the dead of night here and he's like one of the only guys who would dare to go get Jesus' body? The Spirit raised him to life. He believed what Jesus said. He believed in Jesus. And Nicodemus's life was changed. The Spirit, God's Spirit, worked in him and brought him to life. Listen to this. I think this is an incredible verse that shows us that Jesus is the one that gave Nicodemus his Spirit. This is in John 20. John 20, 21 through 22 says this. Jesus said to them, and this is after he's risen from the dead. He's with the disciples in the upper room. They're hiding. They're afraid. So the risen Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now that's kind of a weird picture, right? The resurrection, the resurrected Jesus shows up to a scared group of people. He says, "Peace be with you." That's the gospel, peace. He comes in peace. He's made peace with you. And then it's kind of strange. He breathed on them. What does that remind us of? Do you know of anywhere else where there's like God breathes on someone? At the very beginning, God makes man out of dust. He makes this man named Adam. And you know what God does to him after he's formed him? There's no life in him. He breathes. This, Jesus, what he does when we come to Jesus, we're kind of like Adam. We're flesh, but not much more. Nothing's living on the inside. The Bible tells us that we're dead in our trespasses. But Jesus, in a new creation, in a way that reminds us of Adam, he breathes on us and he gives us his Spirit. Jesus imparts his Spirit to us and it brings us to life. And the incredible thing is when Jesus gives us his Spirit, he does not just do that so that we keep him for ourselves. I love how he says, "As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." What does that mean? You know how God the Father sent God the Son? God sent God to the world. Okay? God the Father sent God the Son. You know what Jesus, the Son, you know how he sends us out? You know who he sends to the world? God. Through us. As the Father sent the Son, God sent God to the world. Now God the Son is sending God the Spirit to the world. Through us. We get to be part of that. This is our mission. God empowers us. His Spirit comes in us, brings us to life. And not only now do we just get the benefits that he has brought us from death to life, now we get to tell everybody, he'll bring you to death, from death to life. And there's nothing you do to get that. It's all just grace. Jesus Christ has done it. What an incredible thing. He gives us this mission, and this is the final thing that we want to look at, is Jesus' Spirit, or God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us to love others and to even change. He will transform us and change. Listen to this out of Galatians 5. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here's what this means. God's fruit in us, when the Spirit resides in us, when we stop trying to work for our salvation and we just receive the grace of God, we start seeing this fruit. God's Spirit starts working in us. And it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you guys want those things? I do. I mean, that's abundant life. That is a guarantee of what the Spirit will do in your life. And you know what? The way it happens, it's exactly how your birth happens. God's going to do it. You do not have to go, let me be loving, let me be loving, let me be loving, let me be loving. Here's what you need to hear. You are loved, you are loved, you are loved. Oh, I just sinned, I just screwed up. How could God, no, I love you in this. While you are still a sinner, God loved you. You know what? You need to know that God's peace is with you. When we understand the gospel, when we just receive him, we start going, oh my goodness, with what we have been loved, now we're going to love. With the joy that God has put, like we see in God, he puts it in us. And it just starts changing us. The Holy Spirit will empower us to change, not by our doings, but by his doings. He will work this out in us. I think change and this empowerment for most of us, the way that change really happens is we need a place where we can feel totally safe and secure. We kind of talked about this last week in the sermon, but this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Apostle Paul tells us about how safe and secure we are. In Ephesians 1, he says, "In Jesus, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." The Holy Spirit seals us. He goes, I've got you. I am the guarantee that one day you will have the inheritance of Jesus Christ. I would love to be part of Warren Buffett's inheritance. Okay? I think y'all probably would, you know, like, that would be nice. That's nothing in comparison to what this is talking about. We are co-heirs with Christ. Think about that. With riches that will never end, with a relationship that will never end, and the Holy Spirit guarantees that we will have that. It's nothing that we have done that gets us this. It's all through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. What he comes and does is he just seals us. This is a guarantee. You will never lose this. Now let me think about it. Jesus told us a good analogy to figure this out. When you're born, so Cade, you read scripture today. Could Brad ever stop being your dad? Or could you ever stop being Brad's son? Let's say you punch somebody in the face. Would you stop being his son at that point? No, there's nothing you could do. I mean, he could run away, he could go wherever in the world, but if you did a DNA test on him, there's nothing that changes that relationship. Jesus said, when you're born by the Spirit, you're in part of a new family. And there's when the Spirit births you to life, he seals you. He guarantees you. There's literally nothing you can do. No matter how far you go, you cannot get away from it. The Spirit seals us and he makes us his. In an environment where we know that we are his, our lives will start changing. There will be fruit and this fruit of the Spirit will come. Today, in Nicodemus, we see this. I mean, what an incredible thing to see. The Spirit comes, he brings us to life. It's all his doing. It's centered in Jesus Christ. We need to go to Jesus Christ. The way we are healed is when Jesus himself was lifted up. Just like Moses, he put this snake on a rod. And all these snakes were coming through the people of Israel. And all these people were getting bit and they were dying. And Moses said, just look to that serpent on the rod and you'll be healed. This is what we see in this passage is if we just believe, if we just look to Jesus Christ and trust him, we have life. And finally, he will change us. He's working on us. He's given us, he's empowered us with a mission that he will do through us. Let's join him on this mission. God has given us his Spirit, not just to keep it within these walls. He's given us this incredible mission. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Let's join him on his mission as this community of Spirit. Let me pray. God, would you work? Would you have your way in us today? God, would you even help me? It's a busy day. So God, would you help those who especially do not know you? God, would you help us see you and trust you? God, would you help us believe that you have done everything that we could not? And that it's just like our birth. There's nothing we can do to be born. You bring us to life. And you keep us. Help us believe that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.